what you need to get there. So it's not, you know, there's not two of everything, right?
Yeah.
And that's part driven by, as someone just mentioned, you know, we're constrained in PF4 to what we can put in and get out. So we believe that's the most appropriate way to go forward. It does give you more confidence that we'll get to 30. And it does mean some redundancy in certain parts of the flow sheet, not generally across the board having two or three of everything.
I understand. Some pieces of equipment just never break, and others are hard to replace. So,
Some are very hard to replace, harder to maintain. You know, some of those things you can address with critical spares. We do look closely at that to make sure that we're making prudent investments in the equipment set.
Okay, so kind of blends over into Savannah River. If you've got an obligation to be ready to do, what is it, 2026, and you're bringing on 1,000 to 1,500 people, when does the training program kick in there, and how does that tie into the Savannah River requirements, which would emerge before 2030?
The training at Los Alamos is ongoing now. It takes 3 to 5 years to get someone in, cleared, trained, qualified, and proficient on a lot of these pieces of equipment. So at Los Alamos, we're doing that now. Both sites are looking at ways they can help each other in terms of getting more people in. You know, do we have a situation where you train the trainer? Do you have people from Savannah River go out to Los Alamos for a certain period of time to get the experience in an operating facility and then go back to Savannah River? That would be a mutually beneficial arrangement. You know, it helps LANL address their staffing needs near term, and it also gets future Savannah River operators exposed to working in a pit production environment. So we are looking at those things. Both sites are talking about how can they leverage each other for training plans. So those discussions are happening now, even this early in design.
Have they started hiring the new people yet?
Los Alamos, they are hiring, ramping up their hiring. Yes, sir.
Folks, any other questions on this line? Okay. Thank you. The next one will be fine.
Okay. Actually, some of the discussion we just had ties into this. This is just an overview of the different missions and priorities for PF4. As you're aware, PF4 supports several NNSA missions, missions outside of NNSA, DOE. So, as an example, power supplies for space missions are made in PF4, and then lots of other national security missions. And in some cases, and I use pit surveillance as an example, they do share individual pieces of equipment that are part of the pit production flow sheet. So you have the same pieces of equipment and the same people, same operators doing both pit production and surveillance. But PF4 is broken out into wings, four different areas, and other missions are located in completely different areas with different equipment, different staff that are trained to do different things. So there's not an overlap necessarily or interference with pit production. We are working with Los Alamos, recognizing that all these missions are happening in PF4. They're all important. We're working with Los Alamos to formalize what the program of record is to one of these missions, what they expect out of the facility. And then what we want to do is have a change control process so that individual program managers, you know, myself included, can't change a requirement and expect something different out of PF4 without evaluating the impacts to all the other missions. And that'll also help us prioritize, you know, what work we're doing. This is not an exhaustive list at the bottom, but you know, some of our emissions other than pit production are surveillance, experimental device fabrication. I've mentioned power supply production. There's equities for both DOE in NASA space and our world defense programs. We talked a little bit about ARES already. That's the, you know, the mission to oxidize plutonium. And that's one of the examples where it's in a separate wing. You know, there's different area for those operations in PF4. There's more than I've included here, some of which are hard to talk about on an open line, but that's...
I understand.
Yeah, that's kind of a broad view of the different activities in PF4, and we are pursuing efforts to get everything down on paper and prioritize and institute a change control process for the various missions, because it's just too important a facility for national security.
Right. So I've never seen PF4, so I'm speaking in the dark, but I had heard in years gone by how crowded PF4 was and so on and so forth. So the improvements that you're planning on making in the famous $13 billion program, does that include an actual expansion of PF4 itself, or is it primarily improvements in access and services and support items for the 1,000 to 1,500 new employees?